reasons, but Ephesians 1, verse 18 through 23 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you may fully comprehend the confident hope God has given to those he has called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance, and that you would understand the incredible greatness of God's power which he has poured out into us who believe. This is the same mighty power that he made known in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the place of honor and power at his own right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one to come. And now, God has placed all things under the authority of Christ and gave him as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen? You know, when I was in high school, we had a family friend who was an ophthalmologist, and he told us a story about this little boy that had come in to his office, and he had terrible eyesight. And so this friend of ours, they had fixed him up with some glasses, and he walks out the front door, and he looks down at the grass, and he goes, wow, there's a bunch of them. He had never seen grass as individual blades. He had always just seen this blanket of green. Wow, there's a bunch of them. You guys, clarity of vision, clarity of sight, knowing what we're looking at, it changes our perspective on everything, doesn't it? Everything changes. The more that you see, the more that you know, the more that you can actually comprehend what you're looking at. So this morning, we're going to talk about vision. We're going to talk about vision and eyesight and seeing with clarity, seeing clearly who we are, seeing clearly who God is, seeing clearly what it is that God is calling us into. Because the more clearly we can see, the more that we will comprehend and understand the things that God has set us up for and has set up for us. Now, when we talk about vision, different things can come to mind. I mean, you can think about literal vision, you know, your eyesight, like that little boy. You can think about, you know, the fact that human beings, did you know that we're very visual creature? In fact, over half of our brain is given to just processing, either directly or indirectly, sight. 90% of all the stimulus that we bring in through our senses is through sight. So we're wired as visual beings. So the idea of vision means everything to us. On the other hand, we could be thinking about the vision, that kind of metaphorical sense. Where is God leading us? That vision of what he has in mind. And we're going to be talking about that later today at the meeting. We could be thinking about that vision that we have of how important it is to see God. And you think about that, that's kind of strange, right? God's invisible, and yet he makes himself known. And how does he do that? He does it through the circumstances of our lives. He does that through the actions of other people we see around us. God made himself known at Hope Day, didn't he? And how did he do that? It was through the people that were there showing who he was, showing his love and compassion. God makes himself known through Scripture. God makes himself known through the life of Jesus. We may think of that vision. We started the series with that scripture that we read earlier. That scripture is all about vision. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be flooded with light. Why? So that you could see, so that you could understand, so that you could comprehend who you are, the hope that you have, that you would see how powerful the Holy Spirit is who lives in you and how God has poured out within you the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power that's working in and through us. It's all about vision. But this morning, I want to talk about another aspect of vision. An aspect of vision that's going to be important for us if we're ever going to really take seriously God's call on us as individuals or God's call on us as a church. And so I want to take a journey back to the Old Testament, Now, the Old Testament is that part of the Bible that it tells about how God was leading and training and shaping his people Israel. And so he's doing the same thing with them that he does with us, but he's doing it, and we call this kind of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. This is about the story of God working with Israel. This is hundreds of years before Jesus, and if you know the story, you know that early on in that development, he brought Israel and he rescued them out of slavery in Egypt, right? You guys know the story. A lot of you guys. And so he took them out. Egypt at the time was the greatest empire in the world. And God reached in and grabbed them as his own people and he brought them out. And to do that, he walked them right through the middle of the Red Sea. He parted the sea and he made a way for them. To do that, he guided them around once they reached the other side and they didn't know where they were. He said, just follow this cloud. This pillar of cloud will be with you in the day and it will shield you from the sun. This pillar will turn into a pillar of fire at night, so it will comfort you in the nighttime in the darkness. But he said, I will guide you. He also ended up, he fed them. In the morning, they'd go out and this bread-like substance called manna would be on the ground. They'd collect it and eat it that day. If they needed water, there were times that he just would provide water out of a rock. He did whatever was necessary. And the whole time, what he was telling them was, I want to assure you, I am leading you to the land I have promised you long ago. I will get you there. I will get you there safely and I will bring you in. You can trust me. And all along the way, all this crazy stuff is happening. Now, I want you to imagine that you're a part of that group, and you've walked through the middle of an ocean. You've seen this cloud go and stop and go and stop, and it turns into a pillar of fire at night. You've seen all this. You've seen that God is with you. You would think by the time that group got to the edge of that land, to the border, they'd be ready. You'd think that they'd be like, let's go, right? God said he's getting it. Let's go. I want to read you the story in Numbers 13 of what happens. Moses had chosen 12 young men, one from each of the tribes, to go in and spy out the land. And when they came back, they told about what they saw. They told about the vision of what they had seen when they got there. Numbers 13, 27 to 33. It says, we went into the land where you sent us, and it is a fruitful land. It's flowing with milk and honey. And they said, see, here's the fruit. They brought back some grapes with them. I mean, it was just, they said it's abundant. However, the people who live there are strong. The cities are fortified and extremely large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, Anak was a race of like giants and the warriors. I mean, whatever giant meant that day, but much like Goliath, who David would fight later. They said, Amalek is living in the flatlands to the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and then over by the Jordan River. We are not able to go up against these people. They are too strong for us. This is a land that would devour us as inhabitants. All the people we saw in it are of great size, not even to mention the Nephilim, who are the giants. The sons of Anak were part of the Nephilim. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight as well. Vision. Hear what they said? We became as grasshoppers. We looked like grasshoppers to ourselves compared to them. We think that that's how they saw us as well. They saw us as this plague of just a swarm that's coming in, but they're easily stamped out. You just squish them like bugs. We can't go up there. And so instead, they chose not to go in the land that God had said he was going to faithfully bring them into. And instead, they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years until God was able to raise up a generation who would what? Who would trust what he said rather than what they imagined that they had seen. Vision. So you fast forward 40 years, and Joshua is standing with the people of Israel right at the edge of the promised land again. But this time, Moses is dead. The whole generation that had not decided to go in, they're gone. Only Joshua and Caleb remain out of that, and that was because they were faithful. They said, we believe God can bring us in, but everybody outvoted them, and they went a different direction. But now they're standing there, and this time they said, you know, let's not send 12. Let's just send 2 spies. We had 2 faithful spies. Let's just go with 2. So they sent 2 spies in. And they go check out one of these big fortified cities, Jericho. And while they're there, they're found out. And they have to hide in the home of a woman named Rahab. Listen to what Rahab tells them. Joshua 2, 9 through 11. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that the terror of you has fallen on all of us. All of the inhabitants of this land have just melted away before you. We have heard that the Lord, we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, who you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any of us any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God of heaven above and on earth beneath. Did you hear what she said? She said, we are terrified of you. And we have been ever since we heard about the Red Sea 40 years earlier. The Israelites didn't look like grasshoppers to anybody. God didn't talk to them like they were grasshoppers. And Rahab is saying the people of the land didn't see them as grasshoppers. They only saw themselves as grasshoppers. They only saw themselves as not able to go in. The people of the land were terrified that they were there. They had been dreading the day. And not just them, but actually they were terrified because they saw what the God who was with them could do. For them, through them, with them. How many times do we limit, or we doubt, or we miss the plans of God? Not because we are not capable. I want you to hear that. God doesn't say we're not capable. He says in Christ we are capable of anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live in the worst circumstances. I can celebrate in the greatest joys. I can experience the greatest triumphs. I can make my way through the greatest trials. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, because of Christ with us, because of the Holy Spirit who he has poured out in us, we can bet that if he has laid out a plan and given us a vision and told us what he has us here for, that we can get it done. It's not because we aren't capable in Christ. If we ever miss something, if we ever miss something about God's vision for us, and I want you to hear this part too, either as individuals, if we miss something in our own life that God, we know he has for us, we read in Scripture and he says, this is who I've called you and made you to be and equipped you to be. If we miss it, or if we miss, even more importantly, if we miss something as his church, it's not because he hasn't equipped us and he hasn't given us everything in order to grab hold of it. If we miss the vision of God, it is because of our own vision, our own poor assessment of who we are, our own poor assessment of what we are capable of actually pulling off, even though God has led us to this place for that very purpose. If you're here this morning, God has brought you to this place this morning. And he has done it with purpose. He has done it with intent. He has called us together as Christ's church, and he has planted this church with purpose in this area, in this region. I want to ask, how many of you feel like God has you here in this life for something truly meaningful, significant, important? How many of you? Okay, now I want to tell you, everybody should have your hands up. And the reason is because that's why God has us here. He has each one of us gifted, wired as we are, uniquely crafted to accomplish something significant, something vital in the work that he has to do, and in the history and the work of this world. So if we do not see that, it is not because God tells us that we don't have any purpose. It's because we see ourselves as grasshoppers. It's that when we see that, we look at it and we say, you know what? I think that's too big for me. I don't think that I'm that big of a deal. I think that thing that I think that God might be calling me to, I think it would eat me alive. I think I would fail at it. And so we choose to go a different way. Or we choose to, how many of you guys can relate to this? Instead of doing that challenging thing that you're just like, man, that would be, that's the thing that would fire me up. But instead you go, but I don't think I can do that. So I'm going to take an easier. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do something that I know is not as big of a deal. It won't make as big of an impact on people's lives. It doesn't matter as much, but I'm going to do this. Why? Because I don't think I could do that other thing that I really feel that God is calling me to. And we take the easier route. We go into the desert. It'd be a lot easier than trying to take on all those nations, right? I want to leave with you one final passage. It relates to this story. It's in the book of Ezekiel 20, 5 and 6. In Ezekiel, this is hundreds of years, almost 1,000 years after Israel was first standing on the border of that new land. And God is telling Ezekiel, he says, on that day when I chose Israel, when I made a promise to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in Egypt. So he's talking back about this thing that had happened. I promised them, I am the Lord your God. And on that day, I swore to them to bring them out from the land of Egypt and into a land that I had spied out for them. He uses the same words. He says, I had already spied it out for them. A land flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Before God ever brought Israel to the promised land, before they ever sent spies in, God had already gone before them, had spied out the land. He knew it was a good land. That's why he was bringing them there. He knew that he was able and he was willing and he was going to bring them in. That's why he brought them there. Before you ever got there, I spied out that land. Do we realize that when God gives us a vision, when God reveals to us the purpose that he has for our life or for our life together as his church, do we realize that God has already been there? God has already spied it out. That's why he brought us to this moment, to this time, to this place, because he knows what he intends to bring us into. He knows what he intends. He knows the impact that he intends to have on this kind of central section of the West Bay of Rhode Island because this church is here, because each of you is here. He knows what he can do, and he knows what he's planning on doing, and that's why he brought us here this morning. Do you guys get that? Do you see that? We are here with purpose. In fact, here's the thing. When God goes in and he spies out the land and we follow after, we have to realize that if it's according to his plan and promise, he's already gone before us. He's already essentially taken the land. We are walking in and simply kind of working out and living out what's already been accomplished. We kind of understand that about our salvation. We don't save ourselves. We just walk into things that Jesus has already done for us, right? In the same way, when God puts us there and he says, I want you to make a difference, we are walking into things that he has already accomplished for us. Ephesians 2:10 says this, We are his workmanship, created anew in Christ Jesus for, it says good works, but it's amazing works. It's honorable, it's worthy works, it's just astounding works, for good works which God has prepared beforehand so that we should simply walk into them. That is literally what that verse says. That is the reality of being the people of God. And it's essential that we see that about ourselves. So one, we're not trying to do all the work ourselves, but two, we're not thinking, well, I couldn't possibly do that. is us going and living out the things that God has already accomplished. The only question for us is whether we will walk by faith and trust what he said is true about us, or whether we're going to walk by the things that we imagine that we're seeing. 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, God planted a church called Christ Church. And he was using a handful of families, and if you talk to them, the families that were originally here at that point when God planted this church, it was a handful of families who I would say probably would not have considered, they didn't look like much to themselves. But they really believed that God was up to something. And he wanted them to be a part of something that he was up to. And so they grabbed hold of him. They grabbed hold of his spirit. They said, then fill us with your power and open up the opportunities and we'll just follow you into it. And they did. And as a result, what did they see? They saw lives impacted, not just in this little region around East Greenwich or Warwick, not just that. They saw their impact reaching throughout this state, around this whole region. And it was through, they saw lives transformed, they saw lives changed through ministries that are still around. Ministries like the Care Center. Ministries like Reservoir Avenue Tutoring. You guys, I was here for a long time before I found out what actually happened at Reservoir Avenue. I don't know if you guys have heard that story. But very intentionally, Meg and some others, I know Meg's here this morning. But she rallied the troops. She says, we got to go do something. We have an opportunity to partner with some other people up there, and there's a principal up there that really would like to have us in. They took the lowest performing school in that district. And it became the highest performing school in that district because of the impact that they had. Right? To the point that they're telling us they really don't need us anymore. They are. They're saying there are other schools that need you guys more. That happened because people here who said, you know, we think that God wants us to do something. We don't know how. Exactly. We're not sure we're fit for it. We look like grasshoppers in our own sight, but we have a great God and he's calling us to do something. The Furniture Connection, Lunch on the Hill, Tool Man. Now we have Hope Day. All of these are examples of these ministries that have impacted lives. Here's the thing. Today, that was 20 years ago, right? That was the last 20 years. Today, God has you here, right? You're sitting here. God has called you to this church, to Christ Church. And he's put before us the same question. He's put before us the same question. Will we grab hold again of that same vision that God has something big on his heart and on his mind? And he has us here to see it happen. He has us here to walk into those amazing works that he has prepared before we ever got here. He has us here to walk into those. Do we believe that we should grab hold of that to see God make the same kind of impact for the next 20 years that we've seen him make over the past 20 years? God has plans for your life. He has plans for your family. He has plans for your workplace. But he also has plans for this bigger region, this region that's way beyond your comfort zone. He has plans for the kids and their families who go to this school that we're meeting in, right? Many of them, they're not here. But we've actually been invited in by the school to say, can you help us with some of the kids and some of the families that are struggling to even make it? And we're going, you know, it's East Greenwich. How bad can it be? People have needs wherever you go, and you go where the opportunities, where God opens up the doors, and he has actually said, he's shown us that we have opportunities in our own backyard to make a difference. Will we be that church today? God has gone ahead of us. God has prepared the works. God has spied it out. We are here because what? Because we are his workmanship, because we are already the results of his efforts. Right? We're here because he's pulled strings that we couldn't reach. We're here because he has reached in, he's grabbed hold of our heart that we didn't even, in places we didn't even know. We're here because he paid a debt that was too much for us to pay and we didn't even know we had. We're here because we're his workmanship, his greatest efforts, and we are here in order to rise up in his name, rise up in the power of the Spirit that he has said that he has poured out within us, and to go out and to do the work that he has spied out already for us to do. Amen? So how do you see yourself this morning? That's the question, isn't it? Do you see yourself as a grasshopper? You know, overshadowed by this daunting task in front of you? Is that what you see? Do you look out in the world and you say, you know, I'm just going to keep my head down until Jesus comes back, man, because there's no messing with this. There's too much. Do you look in your own life and you say, man, there's too much a mess there. I just hope he takes me when he gets here, right? Or do you see yourself as the people of God? The people of God who Ephesians 1 says, you have the greatest hope you can imagine. You have every reason to live expectantly every day, to wake up and say, God, okay, what are we up to now? Right? What are you going to do? What am I going to see that you have laid out for me to walk into today? We have every reason to be encouraged because we look in and we see he has filled us with the very Spirit of God, the very Spirit that brings the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power that works in and through us. Or do we see ourselves as the people of God another part of that question is, are we willing to kind of put aside all those fears that just kind of tie us up? And another one is all of those distracting pursuits that we keep chasing down, hoping that they'll fill the need and distract us enough from the thing we know that God is calling us to do and to be. Are we willing to take those and shove those aside and pursue as the one thing, this thing that God has out in front of us, to chase down the calling and the purpose and that vision of God until we hold it together in our hands so that together we can offer it up to him as like an offering of our thankfulness and our worship and just his awe that he could use grasshoppers like us to accomplish amazing things like that? Are we willing to do that? That's the invitation this morning. That's the question this morning. And it's all about vision. Amen?